We read in God's Word at Psalm 34. The text for the sermon is verse 8. We will read the chapter in its entirety. Psalm 34, this is the Word of God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. That concludes our reading of God's Word, the text, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Beloved, in our Lord Jesus Christ, the psalmist here is David. David is, at this time in his life, fleeing from Saul. As you recall from history, Saul was king in Israel, and in those end years of his reign, he became jealous of David, and he hated David, who was soon going to assume the throne. He hated him so much that he wanted to kill him. So at the time of the writing of this psalm, David is or has been fleeing from Saul, running away from him. He has made one stop already in his flight from Saul. And now he makes another stop, and this stop, as he's running away, is in the land of Gath. Gath, the place where the Philistines lived. And here at Gath, Achish, or another name for Achish, Abimelech, was the ruler of the Philistines. David thought that if he fled to this land of the enemy, and if he was here for a while, that would serve as a good hiding spot. Saul would never come to the land of the Philistines to look for David. There was one thing. David had to remain hidden or disguised so that Achish and his men would not recognize him, else he would be in real trouble, even though he was trying to hide from Saul. For David, though, it turned from good to much worse, because There he was in the land of the Philistines, and Achish's men recognized him. Not only did they know that he was David, but he was also identified as David, that mighty warrior in Israel. He was in trouble. David took matters into his own hands because he was afraid of what Achish and his men would do to him. He pretended to be a madman. He made carvings on the doors of their gates like a madman would. He let his saliva dribble down on his beard. He looked like a crazy man because he reasoned that if they perceived him as that kind of man, they would have no use for him and send him off. It worked because Achish found no use for a madman. So he sent David off, and David then hid in the cave Adullam. David, in Psalm 34, reflects on his fears among Achish and his troubles in his flight from Saul. Notice that in a few verses. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Even though David was at a very low point in his life, he confesses here in our text that God was good. Jehovah was good to him. And we'll spell that out a little bit. He wasn't killed by his enemies. He escaped out of the hand of Achish. God preserved him mightily from his foes and from his sin too. Jehovah was good. And now he turns to us. He says, I've experienced this goodness in a very real way for myself. Now you taste. You see in your own life and in all the circumstances of your life that Jehovah is good. He is, isn't He? We know that in our lives. We've known that in this past week. He's good, and He's the overflowing fountain of all good. We come to the Lord's table this morning. How will you come? But thankful for Jesus Christ, for His broken body, His shed blood. So we come to the Lord's Supper saying, yes, God is good. Let's taste and let's see that this morning. Let's do that under the theme, Tasting Jehovah's Goodness. First of all, the meaning of that. Second of all, the way for that. And third of all, the blessedness of tasting Jehovah's goodness. David says here, O taste and see that the Lord is good. This goodness starts within God Himself, because goodness, as the Essential Catechism students will recognize, goodness is an attribute of God. It describes, or it is a characteristic of who He is in His being. God is good, and what that really means is that He is the sum of all His attributes. When you put all His attributes together, that is what the goodness of God is. We know that from the book of Exodus. Do you remember when Moses was at Mount Sinai with the children of Israel in the middle of their wilderness wanderings on the way to Canaan? Jehovah came to Moses and He said, Moses, I will pass before you in all of my goodness. Then when the Lord actually did pass before Moses, what did the Lord do? He declared to Moses that He was a God of grace, mercy, long-suffering, truth, goodness itself. When the Lord said, I'll pass before you in His goodness, and He declared to Moses all those attributes, who He was in Himself, what He was doing there is saying, Moses, all these attributes, when you put them together, are my goodness.
He is good within himself. God is good, and he is in fact the overflowing fountain of all good. That good Jehovah was good outside of himself now to David. And that's the emphasis of the text, because David says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. I've experienced it because he's shown that to me in my life." That goodness that he is within himself, he's revealed to me in very concrete ways. God was good to David in that he delivered him from all of his fears and his troubles. Notice that goodness of God in verse 4. "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." Verse 6, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Here was David running away from a man that wanted to kill him. Try to put yourself in his shoes. Man wants to murder him in cold blood. Always thinking he has to look behind him because, where is Saul? Is he hiding somewhere? Is he lurking, trying to kill me? But now also he's in this land of the Philistines among Achish. They found out who he was. They discovered his true identity. Now he's worried that they might hurt him or kill him. So it's very true that David had his foes. He had his fears and his troubles. Yet, he says, "The Lord was good to me." Because remember the subsequent history. Saul never caught him. Saul never killed him. Even when he was in that land of Achish and of Gath, he was never hurt there, but he escaped to the caves and continued his flight from Saul. God was good because he preserved David. He saved him from his foes. Jehovah was also good to David because he saved him from his sins. When David acted like that madman, he let that saliva dribble down on his beard and he made those carvings in the doors of the gates, he was relying upon himself. That was a sin. He did not find himself in this very difficult situation and say, "I need the Lord's help. I need to trust in and lean wholly upon Jehovah to get me out of this very difficult place." But he said, "I need to do it myself. I need to pretend that I'm a madman, and it's only then that I will ever escape. If I can't do it, no one can do it." His sin was the sin of self-reliance. But how good was Jehovah to the psalmist? Even though he was so foolish, the Lord said, "I'll still deliver you from your enemies." Even though you trust in yourself, Saul won't kill you, and this Achish won't kill you either, nor his men. I will still preserve you out of their hand. He was good to David, even in the midst of his sin. This goodness of God can be boiled down to this. It's his grace and his mercy. Remember, it's the sum of all of his attributes. But really, when you hear what David was facing and his circumstances, those two stand out. His goodness is his grace and his mercy. Because in his grace, he had favor upon David, although he didn't deserve it. And in his mercy, he willed to bless the psalmist, even though he didn't deserve it. David, who was in his woe. What is even more, this was the grace and the mercy of Jehovah and Jesus Christ already to this Old Testament saint. Because it was in Jesus Christ that he blessed David and willed to bless him in his mercy out of his cross. And because it was in Jesus Christ that he had favor upon David, so that it was powerfully in Jesus Christ that he snatched him from the hand of Achish and that he saved him from his sin. Christ. Did you see when we were reading through the psalm where Christ comes through? Verse 7. "The angel of the Lord, Christ, encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." David says, "I
have tasted, I have seen that goodness of God for myself in my life.
Now you taste and you see that the Lord is good. He uses a figure here. Taste.
If you have a piece of dessert in front of you, a piece of pie, maybe you've never had that kind of pie before, so you say, I would like a piece of that for myself so I know what it tastes like, so I can experience that in a very real way for myself. So you take your fork, slice off a little piece, put it in your mouth. You don't immediately chew it because you want to savor it a little bit. And that sense of smell and that sense of taste combine so that you get the full flavor of just that little piece. You let it rest there on your tongue, move it around a little bit in your mouth, finally chew it, slowly swallow it, so that it comes right into yourself and it becomes really a part of you. After you have eaten that piece of dessert, you say, I have tasted and experienced what that is like for me. David also uses the figure of seeing. Change it a little bit. Now you are at the lake, sitting there on the sand, and there's the sun in the sky, glorious in all of its brightness and its orange and yellow hues. Now that sun slowly dips, as it were, into the water, and the rays of the sun are cast gloriously and reflected over the waves. And finally the sun disappears so that you can't see it anymore. You would say that almost in a way you have drunk in that picture, that glory of the sun for yourself, and you have experienced it in a very real way. David says, taste spiritually that the Lord is good. Take His goodness. Put it into your spiritual mouth. Let it sit there for a little bit. Savor it. Let it rest there upon your spiritual taste buds. And after you have smelled it and experienced it, then chew it and take it into yourself to be a very real part of you. Which is to say, meditate upon it. Think about His grace and His mercy in Jesus Christ for long periods of time. Not only taste it, but see it too. Drink His goodness in with your spiritual eyes. Everything He has done for you and me in our lives. So that then too we take in all of its beauty and it takes our breath away even. So that we pray over it for long periods of time. Think upon it hour after hour every day. See spiritually how good God is. We taste and we see how gracious and merciful He is to us in our lives, don't we? Just as David did. He delivers you and me, too, from our fears and our troubles. We have persecutors. That might be in the college classroom with a professor who is very obviously anti-Christian. He makes that known in his lectures. He will try to intimidate his Christian students into a corner. That persecution comes at work with coworkers who laugh at us when we pray, when we bow our heads before we eat our lunch, with coworkers who try to leave us out and ridicule us for things that we say or even a rebuke we have brought them concerning their very ungodly life. Persecution here for us now. Fears and troubles. And these things make us to fear. They might make our stomachs to turn. We might question the goodness of God at that time. Is He really good if I'm facing these kind of circumstances in my life? But then we, as David, come right back to His goodness and say, no, He holds us in Jesus Christ. He's good to me in Him. So that even though we might be afflicted by persecution on this earth, He'll save us in that and He will preserve us into our heavenly home. We've tasted that.
And we taste the goodness of God in that He saves us from our sins. Isn't it so often the case for you and for me that we're self-reliant as David was? We come into a very difficult situation and we think to ourselves, I'm never going to get out of this seemingly impossible situation unless I can do it myself. And we hardly even give it a second thought to pray to God and to seek His help and His grace in this. Maybe it is persecution. Then we resort to other means than praying to God, and maybe we try to erase our Christian identity so we're not so hostily treated. We try to blend in with others around us, with the world, so that we're not so much opposed. What's our sin there? I can do it. I have to do it. Don't consider God. Self-reliance. How good is God to us? Even though we have that kind of mindset so often, that He made Jesus Christ to taste and to see His wrath. Jesus Christ to take in fully and drink all that wrath of God on account of our sins, so that not only do we not have to taste and see that wrath, but we taste and see only God's goodness, even though we're such a self-reliant people. So we say, He's good. He's good. We see that because He delivers us from our troubles. He saves us from our sins in Christ. And we see just how good He is here at His table this morning. In the preaching, we hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, just how merciful and gracious God is in Christ. But then when we come to the table, He signifies that to us, to our senses, and He seals that upon our hearts so that we're assured of that reality of the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that when we come to the table, what's our attitude? We say, I'm so thankful for what He has done in Christ. Now, not only have I heard this behind the pulpit, but now I actually partake of that bread, drink of that wine, partake of Christ spiritually by faith, and in a very real way to our senses too, we say, He's good. I taste that. I see that. It is in the way of trusting in the Lord that we taste and see He's good. And that's what David says as well. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. It is in the way of this faith, this assurance, this trusting, that we do indeed, as David did, experience God's grace and His mercy in Jesus Christ. David again uses a kind of figure here in this word trust. God is a refuge or a protection. If soldiers are trying to flee the enemy, they might find it strategic to run up on a high hill or on a high mountain. And when they have gained the high ground, then they are safe from the enemies which are below in the valley. That hill is for them a kind of refuge. If a man is traveling through the desert, dry and thirsty desert, and it starts to thunderstorm, lightning, torrential rains, then he might choose to climb in the cleft of the rock, because in that rock he finds a shelter or a protection from the storm outside. David says, God, I trust in Him, which is to say He's my refuge. Two things here. He is a complete refuge. Notice very carefully the words of the text. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. In God. David says, here are all my enemies around me. They're surrounding me. Saul is chasing me. I'm right in the middle of the Philistine land, and they are all surrounding me as well. But God is my refuge because I'm in Him. He's
enveloped me in His arms of love and protection. And because I'm in Jehovah, not only will I never be lost, but all these enemies which are dotted around me, they'll never be able to get in because the Lord has me securely in His arms. A complete refuge. Because the Lord was that refuge to David, and David was in Him, he also tasted and saw His goodness. It was in the way of that trusting. But the second thing to do with that protection of the Lord, that trusting, not only is Jehovah that complete refuge, but He's a mighty protection too. Mighty. That comes as well from the text. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Literally, you could say it this way. Blessed is the mighty man who trusteth in Him. Not so much because David of himself was such a strong, mighty man, but because the Jehovah in whom he hid was that mighty, strong Jehovah. Because the strong God enveloped him in His arms. It didn't matter how powerful Saul was. It didn't matter how intimidating and tall in their opposition these Philistines were as they surrounded David. It didn't matter one bit. Because David was made mighty by the mighty Jehovah. He was his refuge. Finding that God strong as his refuge, he really tasted and he saw that God was good. That's the case for you and for me too. We need to see that this morning. Do you confess that the Lord is your complete refuge? That's so necessary. The enemies are all around. Our sinful flesh, that never leaves because it clings to us. It's always there until we die. The devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now think of how the devil walks through the earth and how he employs in his service all of his wicked servants. They're all over. And then you consider the world in all of its wickedness, how it surrounds us until we leave this earth to go to heaven. Then you say, yes, the enemy's all over. But the comfort of the text is that this refuge surrounds. The Lord says, even though the enemy is all over, you are in my arms securely in Jehovah. So we know He's good. And He is that mighty refuge too. Now don't think of the enemies all around us that are scattered, but think of their strength. We referenced that a minute ago, how the persecutors of this world are intimidating, how they do stand strong and tall in their opposition against us. Not only that the devil walks around the earth as this roaring lion, but he is that fierce predator, lions which are able to tear apart life and limb, and how the flesh, it hardly even needs to be mentioned. Not only that it clings to us, but how strong it is in its temptations, day after day, trying to make us to slip from the faith. We need to know in the midst of the strong enemy that our God is infinitely stronger, that He envelops us in His arms. Taste and see. He is our refuge, that He's good. That man who has God as his refuge and therefore tastes and sees His goodness is a blessed man. Blessed man. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. This blessedness, and we'll see this in a little bit different light tonight, but this blessedness is happiness. It's not the kind of happiness that changes from day to day. It's here. It's a smile on the face. It's a kind of giddiness. But then it's gone the next day.
that's the happiness of the world, but it's a deep-rooted, unchanging joy and happiness in God. It's a joy and happiness because that blessed man has Jehovah as that refuge, because he does dwell with him in covenant fellowship, because he is safe and protected in God's arms. That's why he's so happy. Not the joy of the world. That happiness is here, and it leaves, because it's a joy in sin. That's the chapter 2, verse 16. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. But you and I are happy, having our refuge in Jehovah, because we lack no good. That's the context, too. The lions might lack. They often do, but not us. That didn't mean for David that he was trial-less in his life. We just said that. All kinds of troubles and fears. Neither does it mean for us that we skate through this life all the way to heaven. No problems at all. But the Lord does provide, and we know that. He provides on this earth in His protection and His grace. But hear what Psalm 34 says as well, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. When is it that we are delivered from all afflictions? Not here, but there. Set your heart on heaven, people of God. Wait for that expectantly. And may the sacrament, shed blood in the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen us in that life. He's good. Amen. Father in heaven, give us the grace and the mercy that we need in this life. It is so necessary because we are self-reliant sinners, so we look to Christ. And when we consider Christ and what He has done for us at the cross and in all of His life, we know indeed, without any doubt, that Thou art so good to us. Now cause us, as we come to Thy table, to taste and see in a special way that Thou art good. Forgive our sins, this we pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen.